Let's go to Isaiah 30, verse 15. So I'll read the NASV version first. For thus the Lord God says, the Holy One of Israel has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved, in quietness and trust is your strength. I'll read it again. For thus the Lord God said, the Holy One of Israel has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved, in quietness and trust is your strength. God, we thank you so much for this morning, and we thank you for your word. We thank you that you long to speak with us this morning, always, but this morning. We ask that you would help us humble ourselves before you, that you would open our hearts, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and a heart to receive everything you would want to speak to us this morning. I thank you for the thoughts, the revelation this morning, and I pray that you would help me to not mishandle anything, but to share your heart and your word correctly. We thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I just wanted to share from my own quiet time. This was a quiet time. I was just sitting in a cafe in Tin Hau one day, and I just felt like it's called the Peace Cafe, and I think it's run by a church. And I noticed their slogan is, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And I had always been used to the other versions, which said in repentance and in quietness and trust, in quietness and trust. I hadn't really seen in quietness and confidence. And it made me think, what does that mean? What's the difference between confidence and trust? And that's how I started, just in the cafe. I just started digging into it and really just meditating. And I really felt the Lord just shared something with me. So that's really just going to be what I share today. Now, just to give you some background, and the title of the message is called The Keys to Success. So I know everybody wants to be successful. Maybe a lot of people will click on this link. So let's think about first, it's just one verse, but I feel like there's so much here. So we should really do it justice, and let's really rest on this, and let's really start unpacking it and chew on it for ourselves and hopefully allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through it this morning. Now, let me give you some background about what's going on. This is in the book of Isaiah, and as I've shared before, the time that Isaiah was living was very, very tumultuous time. Imagine, I guess, in the early 1900s, where you had many rising powers internationally, and then you had some older powers that were receding, a lot of international upheaval. And Israel, of which Isaiah was a prophet, was a relatively smaller power. And it was stuck in the middle of the rise of this new superpower called the Assyrian Kingdom. And it was trying to figure out, what should we do? So imagine you are the king of Israel at the time, the policymakers, the advisors. And essentially, your old partners used to be XYZ, but suddenly there's this new superpower that's come out of nowhere, and it's totally upending the international order. What do you do? What can I do to survive in this storm? And essentially what the Israelites at the time decided, I guess as we can see in the book of Isaiah in the first part of this chapter, and I'll just read it to you, where Isaiah says, woe to the obstinate children, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, and they heap sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. So essentially what happened at the time was the Israelite advisors did what they typically did. I mean, Egypt was the old superpower. So they decided in their own strength and knowledge and just wisdom to, hey, what do? We need to counterbalance the Assyrian kingdom becoming so strong. We need to go to the other superpower and go to Egypt and ask for protection. And that's what they did. But they did it without consulting the Lord. And what does the Lord speak to them through Isaiah? He says, you are so stubborn. I have tried to tell you, rely on me, look at me, but instead you relied on your own wisdom and you're going to Egypt and you are trying to ask them for support. And he says, you're heaping sin upon sin and it's not going to work out. So that's some of the background. They were facing a storm, just like I think many of us, even personally in our lives, might be facing storms, whether it's financial, whether it's personal, whether it's health, whatever it might be, you may be facing a storm, similar to what Israel was at the time. So this advice, this key to success that God, through the Holy Spirit, through Isaiah, is speaking to us, is relevant to you as well. So again, let's break this out a bit. There's really a few key components here, right? First, so I think we should all open the Bible, or if you have it on your phone, let's, you know, don't just listen. You gotta read along with me. Okay, I'm going to give you time. Open up your Bible. Go to Isaiah 30, verse 15. We're really going to chew on this today. We want to get all the juices out. We want to make this ours, okay? So let's read it again. The Lord says, in repentance and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. So there's four, I guess, inputs, right? And then there's two outputs, okay? By the way, language linguistics is very science, right? I'm not a science guy. I'm actually very not science, but it's very important when we think about this. Let's break it out. So the two inputs first was repentance and rest, and you will be saved. And quietness and trust is your strength. Okay, so if you have a piece of paper somewhere, let's write it down. Repentance and rest leads to salvation, and quietness and trust leads to strength. Now, just like maybe like you right now, when I was sitting in the Ten Hao Temple, the cafe, I was like, yeah, I never really thought about this. What does it mean, this quietness and trust and repentance and rest? So that's, you know, let's really think about it. So first, let's start out with, repentance and rest. Let's start with repentance. Now, I think PSAM has taught on this a lot, so I won't, you know, unpack it so much. But the word repentance, and this is why it's so important, actually, that we look at different translations, because, you know, I think a lot of smart people did many different translations, and we shouldn't, you know, so we should really, because words matter based on the context. And one translation might try to be more literal in the translation, and then some other translations might try to give you more context so you can understand. So I think it's very important that we look at all different, many different translations. So if you look at the NLT or the New King James Version or the Amplified. So the Amplified, especially what they do is they try to take the original Greek and the Hebrew meaning, and they, after a word, they will put like a few different versions of the interpretation of that one word. And the reason is it's like, you know, you go to Blue Letter Bible and it'll show you all the different interpretations or translations of a word. What they try to do is they try to put that in the text. So this word repentance, actually, how it can be translated in the New King James Version is in returning and rest. So returning. That's what actually repentance means. We have this, you know, when we hear repentance, it's such a religious word, and it's so easy to tune out words very quickly that are so familiar and that seem religious. But actually, repentance, as I think PSAM has taught many times, it means to return to God. What you're saying is, hey, what the road that I may have been going might be wrong. And instead, I want to go to the road, the direction that God is telling me to go, which is the right direction for you anyway, the best direction from a loving God. So what you're doing is first you're saying repentance is in returning to God is your salvation. So repentance, that's the first word, returning to God. And this, of course, is always absolutely always the foundation. Because guess what? If you're going a certain direction, but that is not the right direction, God is not going to change his mind about what is the right direction for you, because he knows the truth and he knows what is the right direction. So he's the rock. He's not going to say, okay, let's say you're new to Hong Kong, and let's say you ask someone, which you've been walking, let's say, towards west, towards Kennedy Town, but you really wanted to go to Causeway Bay. And then after 10 minutes or an hour, you realize, I'm not getting any closer to Causeway Bay. So you ask someone, excuse me, which way should I go to Causeway Bay? And the Hong Kong local tells you, well, you have to go east. It's that way. You've been going in the wrong direction. Just because you're like, well, I've been going down this way for an hour. No way. I'm not going to change my mind. I'm going to go to Causeway Bay, but I'm going to keep on walking west towards Kennedy Town because this is what I have been doing and I think this is right. I mean, logically, common sense wise, you know, Causeway Bay is not suddenly going to move towards Kennedy, you know, to the direct Kennedy Town, and Causeway Bay are not going to switch places just because you've been going down that way for an hour. But how often do we live our lives and be like, hey, God, I think this is the right way for me. I think this is the way I should go. So, hey, I don't care what you say. I'm going to keep on going this way. You're essentially telling God, God, this morning, please move Causeway Bay towards where Kennedy Town is and move Kennedy Town to where Causeway Bay is. Why? Well, because I've been going that way for the last 10 years and sure, I sure don't want to change this morning because I still want to go down this way. So let's stop doing that because, as I just told you, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? And if God is God, he's not suddenly going to make Causeway Bay go to where Kennedy Town is, okay? So that's number one. It's so important, but I think PSAM has hammered on this point so much, so let's move on. But this has absolutely got to be the foundation, okay? If you get the direction wrong, it doesn't matter how fast you go or how long you go, you're still going to be going to Kennedy Town and not Causeway Bay. I have nothing against Kennedy Town. It was just the example, okay? So that's number one. So repentance, you need to get the direction right. Now, let's think about this. Rest. What does this mean? So repent in repentance, so returning to God, and rest is your salvation. So let's really think about this. Again, rest. We hear this word a lot. You should rest. Okay, so obey the Sabbath. Okay, so I understand. But what would it really mean in your life, our lives, to rest? Now, I love, and I guess you can't really call it the Message translation because the Message is not such a translation as much, it has some comment, it's really a commentary slash translation, but I really love how the Message takes what they do with this, interprets this passage, okay? So he says, God the Master, the Holy of Israel, has this solemn counsel for you. Your salvation requires you to turn back to me, as we discussed. And then it says, and stop your silly efforts to save yourselves. Stop your silly efforts to save yourselves. So I love that. So what is rest? Resting is stopping our silly efforts to save ourselves. What we need to do is, again, so we start off with, we turn back to Him, and then we have to stop trying to do it our own way. We are so often our own worst enemy. Okay? Let's let that sink in. We are so often our own worst enemy. Because what do? So often, like the Israelites that I just explained, don't we try to do things on our own strength? I mean, instead of, take this example. Let's say that, have you guys heard of this TV show called The Amazing Race? I haven't seen it for a decade, but it might be still going on. It's this thing where you start at the beginning of the TV show and you might be in Paris, and then at the end of the TV show, you have to end up in Budapest or something. And whoever gets to Budapest fastest wins. And there's like different ways that you can get to Budapest. You could take a plane, you could go this route, you could go that route, whatever, right? Now, so you have to get to the finish line. But let's say, so now you are in Central, and let's say you're going to Causeway Bay. So you got the direction right now. Let's assume that you've repented and you've got the direction right. Let's say now you're in a race with me, and you have to get to Causeway Bay from Central. But you have an option. You can get to Causeway Bay by walking on a bicycle, or you can take a taxi. Now, common sense tells you who's going to get there faster. Assume that it's not going to be like 6 p.m. on a Friday night. Assume that it's 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning. You're going to get to Causeway Bay faster if you get into a taxi. But, so resting in the Lord is essentially you getting into a taxi and allowing the Lord to take you to Causeway Bay. But so often, us, instead of resting in the Lord, we try to do it on our own strength because we say, you know what? Darn it, I don't believe in taxis. I'm going to do it my way. Why? Because I'm so strong. Man must rely on their own ingenuity. You know, that's what guys like Ayn Rand, right? People who were saying, man, you know, the one who's really courageous is the one who can thumb his nose at God and say, I, against all hope, will stand up and try to do it my own way. And so many people have said that is so courageous. Wow, the courage of this man who would stand up against God and stand up against all these forces and say, I will stand on my own two feet. But I think that's just ridiculous. Because again, let's just make it simple. Your goal is to get to Causeway Bay. So for you to say, you know what? I just believe that I should rely on my own two feet. I'm going to walk to Causeway Bay. Instead, there's this option. You could take a taxi, but you just say, nope. I don't believe in I don't believe that I should take the taxi. I'm going to walk on my own two feet. What is the point? I don't think there. See, but so often when we're not resting, what we're doing is we're saying, I'm not going to get in the taxi, and I'm just going to do it on my own two feet. You get much faster to Causeway Bay in the car. So then let's think about what the word salvation here means, right? Because sometimes we read this out of context and we say, oh, repentance and rest is your salvation. What does that mean? See, of course, it means that you will be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. But in this context, the salvation means, because we just read the context, right? What Isaiah was trying to tell the Israelites was saying, in your repentance and rest will be your salvation from the Assyrians. will be your salvation from getting destroyed. Well, essentially, so repentance and rest will be your success. This is how you will be successful. So it's not just you'll be, you know, going to heaven. Of course, that's true. But salvation here is really if you repent and go in the direction that God wants you. So do a course correction. And then as you rest in the Lord, you will be successful. That's what God is trying to tell here. Say here, okay? So hopefully that makes a lot of sense. Now, but about this resting thing that I just told you, you might say, but that sounds too easy. You know, yeah, it may be that part of you that wants to be like, if it's too easy, I don't want to do it. Well, actually, the honest truth is, this resting thing is not a passive thing. It's actually not entirely like you get into a taxi and then you do your smartphone thing while the taxi driver takes you. It's actually not like that. Because I'm sure all of us who've been walking with the Lord, we realize there is a part that we need to do. Because as you walk with the Lord, the resting is actually the work that we must do. You know, Jesus said, this is the work that you have to do. It is to believe in me. Because sometimes as we rest in the Lord, sometimes we look with our own human eyes and we realize, wow, I'm not sure this is the right direction. It's like your taxi driver. You know, it's like you're having, you know, the taxi driver, let's say, has Google Maps that tell him what this is the best traffic road. But then we're like, hey, why are you going this way? Are you trying to cheat me? Are you trying to just get another $5 from me on the way to Causeway Bay? Instead, we should be going this way. Why are you taking the West Tunnel instead of the East Tunnel? Whatever, right? These arguments that we can have. You're doing the same. We can have the same thing with God, can't we? So you're like, you decided you want to go the right direction. But then sometimes things might not look exactly like this is the right way. But we have to trust and have faith that and continue to abide and rest in God. Because, you know, what did Jesus say? In John 15, right? Abide in me, and if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. So sometimes it can get bumpy, yes. But we have to exercise our faith and continue to abide and rest. So resting is not as easy as you think. It's not as a lazy thing as you think. It actually requires your effort. Okay? So now the second part. So again, as we get the direction right, and then as we exercise our faith sometimes, as we rest in the Lord, we will be successful. Now the second part, which is in quietness and confident trust is your strength. You know, sometimes we can get tired, right? Because sometimes as you're going the road that you feel like maybe 2 years ago, God gave you a direction, maybe through a prophetic word or as you were reading the word, something really spoke to you and you thought, this is the direction for me. God brought me to Hong Kong. I mean, we're all in Hong Kong now. So you're in Hong Kong right now, but you felt like, God, you brought me to Hong Kong for a purpose and that's why you came here. That was 5 years ago. Now maybe it's like, what's going on? Now, sometimes you need strength. Sometimes you get tired. So how do we do it? Number, in quietness. In quietness. What does quietness mean? Initially, I really didn't understand it at first. Quietness. What does quietness mean? You mean just don't say anything? I mean, just be calm? Is that what you mean, Lord? And then I realized, you know, what are you doing when you're quiet? You're just still, right? You're not talking. And when you're quiet, what can happen? You can listen. When you're quiet, and you've stilled yourself, what you're doing is you can start listening. And you can start listening to God. You start drawing near to God. So what I realized, this word, this quietness, God is actually saying, you know, be still. Quiet yourself. Don't talk so much about yourself to me. I mean, you can, but can you calm down and listen to me? Can you still yourself and listen to me? By the way, I actually know everything that's going on in your life anyway. So, you know, and it's good to, of course, we should intercede and pray and give him our petitions and requests. But wouldn't it be so much better if God were to speak to us and we were to hear him? Now, personally, I think you can do this quieting yourself anywhere. Like sometimes, like for me, I was just randomly in a cafe and you can just quiet yourself and hear from the Lord. You can do it on your commute. I mean, maybe during your lunchtime, go into a room. I do that sometimes. But the important thing is, it doesn't matter necessarily where. Although if it's quiet, that's great. You need to go apart somewhere. But what you need to do is you probably need to turn off your data on your phone. And what you probably need to do, what I do is I put it into airplane mode. When I spend time with the Lord, I put my phone on airplane mode. And what you probably need to do is stop multitasking. You know, when you're talking with someone, like a friend, you usually give them your full focus, right? And if you're not, then you're being rude. We need to give God our full focus. We need to be present in the moment with God when we are spending time with the Lord, as we are quieting ourselves. The problem is that I think for a lot of us, as we do our, quote, quiet time, unquote, we don't get any of the benefit of spending time with the Lord because we're just going through the religious thing of, I read my chapter today. I read my two verses today. I read my devotional today. I gave God my 5 minutes. Yay. I did it. That's not the point. The point is, like, it's not like checking a box or your checklist for your day. It's actually, this is so good for you. And this is the source of your strength. So when we're multitasking, when we're doing five different things, we're actually maybe doing stuff, but we're not actually accomplishing much, right? So especially as we draw near to God, and probably this is another message anyway, let's stop running around and five different things. Let's really quiet ourselves and go before the Lord and keep our eyes on him and rest and quiet ourselves and listen. You know, remember, Jesus, the man, if we look at the Bible, if we look at the scriptures, he had the craziest schedule ever. I mean, he would minister all day, then his disciples would go to sleep, but then you know what he did? Normally, typically, you minister all day, literally, because the crowds wouldn't leave him alone. You would think he needs to go get some sleep. But instead, Jesus immediately, after ministering, he actually went up to the mountainside, and he spent, as he was wont to do, as he often did, he went up to the mountainside, and he spent time with the Lord. And, you know, Jesus would say, I have food that you don't even know about. His food was spending time with the Lord. That was Jesus' strength. So for us too, we need to refresh ourselves. We need to get our strength by quieting ourselves and spending time with the Lord. And you know, the Bible actually talks so much about this. In Lamentations 3:26, it says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Isaiah 7:4, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. And Isaiah 30:15 that we just read, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. So again, being quiet, it means to listen. And also, Think about it. It actually takes a real degree of humility. I mean, first of all, we should be humble because God is God and we are not. He has all the answers. So you know when you often meet a friend, maybe you have friends like this sometimes or people you know, you're in a conversation and they literally talk. Let's say you spend 30 minutes with them. They literally talk for 27 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, there are people, or maybe you're like that, then you should probably repent. But instead of thinking you're the only one who has all the answers, that you're the only one who has all the thoughts, God has the best thoughts. So we should humble ourselves. Humbling, by the way, is not hitting yourself down, as you all guys know. PSAM talks about it a lot. It's just recognizing reality. Humility is just recognizing reality. It's recognizing that I am so dependent on God that if right now the whole universe could not one atom, one quark and another quark, or one molecule and another molecule, one atom and another atom, they would not be held into place right now. The whole universe would disintegrate if it wasn't for God. Like, once we recognize that, that's humility. That I would not exist, the universe would not exist without God. Hence, it would be much better for me to listen to God instead of talking so much. Okay? I love this, actually. Habakkuk 2:20. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Zephaniah 1:7. Hold your peace at the presence of the Lord God. Zechariah 2:13. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of holy habitation. You know, so often, we Christians, we run around, we're reading books. We're looking for answers, maybe we run to different conferences and sermons. By the way, that's all great, right? I mean, of course, I love listening to sermons, and obviously we go to conferences and reading books, and I love it, and the Lord really speaks. But, hey, probably the first thing we should do is calm our spirits and quietly go before the Lord. The source of all those things was from God anyway. Yeah? So that's quiet. Now, the confident trust. The trust, actually. So NASB and NIV, and they all say just trust. And then I realized there are other versions that say confident trust. And I think that's actually very helpful, right? It's not just trusting, but it's confidently trusting in the Lord. Because we are exercising our faith. And so as we rest in the Lord, as we listen to him, as he strengthens us, we can then be confidently trusting in the Lord. Isaiah 26:3-4, right? You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. I'm sure you guys have all experienced it, right? Whenever we come before the Lord with a pure heart, ready to hear him, ready to listen, he does not leave us stranded. He comes and he speaks to us and he gives us answers, right? He gives us peace. So let's bring it all together. Let's think about the application for us this morning. So even this morning, can I just suggest, let's not run off, if you can, right after the EMP, but let's really spend time with the Lord. Let's really ask him first? Are we going in the right direction? Is there any part of our life that is not aligned with where God's thoughts are, God's direction? And then number two, let's exercise the faith and do a course correction, right? So repentance, ask Lord, what's the direction? And then we need to do a exercise the faith. Even if it might look not right in your human eyes, we exercise faith and then we rest in his solution. And then let's quiet ourselves. Let's strengthen ourselves from the Lord. Let's get strength from the Lord by quieting ourselves. And then from that, we can walk in quiet, in confident trust. You know, and these repentance things, it's usually, I mean, I'm not even talking about the obvious sins, right? I mean, whatever, like lying, stealing, cheating, sexual immorality. I mean, that's obvious, right? I think actually, usually it's a lot more deeper. It's the iniquities. So sin, outright sin versus iniquity, which is envy, pride, bitterness, unforgiveness, self-reliance, not trusting in the Lord. These are actually the more dangerous things because they lie underneath the surface and we don't even know that that's an issue. So we need to be humble and take care of these things very, very quickly. Like, you know, just to, again, I'm speaking to myself, right? As I said at the beginning, this is just my own quiet time. But even this week, I realized, you know, I thought I had laid down in terms of finances, and I thought I really had. But then as I was reading the Word, this verse spoke to me, and it just jumped out at me. And it's when Jesus says, hey, go sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and then follow me. And you know what? For some reason, I had read that verse so many times, but when I read it this week, go sell all your possessions. Like, you know, I have a new daughter now. Praise God, right? She's so beautiful. It's wonderful. But I have a baby now. It's not like I can just sell all my possessions and then we say, we'll go live on the street. So then I thought to God, so am I sinning if I don't sell all my possessions and give it to the... And so I really struggled with this throughout the week. And as I prayed, I felt peace. Number one, I don't think it means that right now I sell all my possessions and give it to the poor and follow him. I think that not being a burden to other people by supporting your family is a great thing. And elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about that you should be prudent and you should save, and the ability to create wealth and not add any sorrow to it is a blessing from the Lord. So that's great. But I realize my issue was if he clearly did tell me a now word, I want you to sell all your savings and follow me, I was not ready to do that. Do you see what I mean? It seems like a subtle difference. Actually, it's quite subtle, actually. This link between holding on to things versus laying it down. It's very subtle. And I actually think every day we have to lay it down. Like every day, actually probably several times a day. So what I realized was, and then I was able to pray to the Lord after, you know, thinking about it this week. Yeah, Lord, okay, fine. Yes, actually, I know you love me, so if you make it very clear, then help me that I would lay it down. Like, literally, sell everything, be able to go. So, okay, Lord, if you say so, okay. But see, it took time. I couldn't, like, immediately say I was ready to do that. But then once I did that, I felt this freedom. I felt this freedom. And actually, work started getting... Actually, it's a whole other sermon. But do you see what I mean? Like, that's what we need to do. So I'm not talking about the obvious sins. I am talking about the obvious sins, yes. But those are so easy, relatively. That's like, you know, that's a sin. But meditating on yourself, on your word, and every day dying to yourself so that you can really be filled fully, more deeper with the presence of the Holy Spirit and God, Jesus, man, that's what I'm talking about. Daily repentance, getting your course correction, quieting yourself before the Lord, allowing it to speak to you, then you will have this trust beyond all understanding, this confident trust. And it really, really begins with humility. Yeah, so look, maybe you're going through something. Finances, personal relationship, health. I don't know what it is, but the Lord does. So just this morning, let's spend some time. Let's really meditate on this word. In repentance, actually, in returning to me. I really like that so much better. In returning to me and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness / listening to me and confident trust is your strength. Because, you know, the Israelites were not willing, unfortunately. And they were judged and they went around the mountain a few times, right? Essentially. But you know what God says, how he ends Isaiah 30? So he says in verse 12, yeah, you have rejected this message, relied on oppression, depended on deceit. Because of that, you'll be judged. But then this is what Isaiah, the God, through Isaiah, says in verse 15. Sorry, not 15. 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all who wait for him. And then from verse 19 all the way to the end of the chapter, it's about his promise. It's about that he will redeem Israel again once they've gone through their repentance. So do you see what I mean? That's the Lord's heart. He longs to be gracious to us. He longs to show us compassion. So let's just, as Sandeep, just meditate on this morning, let's just spend some time. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Returning to the Lord, resting in the Lord is our success. And then quietness / listening to the Lord will lead us to confident trust, and that will be our strength. So let's just spend some time. Lord, we just thank you, God, for your reminder, Lord. Repentance and rest. Returning to you and allowing you to carry us is the key to success. In quietness and trust. So listening to you and exercise, and as we do that, exercising our faith, trusting in you like little children, that will give us strength. So we thank you, God. It's so simple, Lord. But I know that it's the simple truth, Lord, that we so often neglect. Because they're so simple, it's so hard to grasp, actually. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that this verse, God, really encapsulates so much. I pray that for all of us, Lord, that you would continue. Please help us to give you space and time and room so that through your word, it would really speak to us, that we would chew on it, that it would really just become a part of us, Lord, this word. We thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess let's go to the Saturday. Yeah. So, first let's start with mission focus. So let's lift up North Korea, and let's pray for open doors for ministry there. And also missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. Yeah, let's just pray, lift it up for God's will to be done in North Korea, Asia, and also pray for our leaders, that they would have wisdom and to see how we can partner with God's will in all these places. Yeah, let's pray. Lift up SP weekend activities, prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP youth, Yahweh, SP in services and activities, EGGIC, men's and women's discipleship, and all other meetings. That God would be glorified through all these meetings. Let's also lift up the anniversary service that's coming up. Let's pray for Pastor Rob Lee, for his health and stamina as he comes. Let's also pray for all the services to be covered. Let's also pray that that the Lord wants to attend, that they would humble themselves and that they would attend, that they would come. And let's also pray for the SP auction as well, that all the logistics and everything will come, will just be, you know, be excellent and do well and have favor. And let's also pray for the staff. There's a lot of stuff going on. Let's just pray for their stamina and health and just God-given ability just to admin all these things in an excellent way and for them not to get burned out. So let's just lift them up. Pray for SB 2.0, the new building and resources, benefactor. Let's pray for the vision, that we would all catch the vision of SB 2.0. Not only the building, but also what that means. So let's just pray. Lift up the house churches, Mawan, McDaddy, Robinson Bay, Tavistock, Westside. Just anointing on the leaders, just presence of the Holy Spirit during the meetings, and that there will be eternal fruit that comes out of the meetings. Lord, we thank you, God. We lift up all these things to you in Jesus' name. Everyone, please enjoy the rest of your time this morning. God bless. Bye.